Welcome in to Burns Postgame Show.
God, a home run! A three-run homer for Salvador Perez.
On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Here's Royals insider Josh Furnier.
Voice guy, I'm not in the mood. Get the name right. Furnier. All right, Furnier, whatever else you're saying. Get the name right. Welcome in. It's hot. I'm agitated. The Royals just lost 2 of 3 to the Phillies. I'm happy to talk about it with you. I mean, I'm not happy to talk about it. That frustrating afternoon. What are you going to say? Another loss to the Phillies, and as Stu just told you, in less than 24 hours, the Royals have fallen from one game back of first place to now 3 games back of Cleveland and about to hop a plane and fly to that armpit known as Cleveland, Ohio. So how much does this hurt? That to me is the question. That's what I want to gauge. How much did this one hurt today? How much does this series hurt? Not the team so much. How much does it hurt you? Because Friday night, boy, oh boy, we're riding high. Game back at Cleveland. Feeling real good, too. Vinny Pasquantino's on the post-game show. Man, we were having a good time on Friday. I'm listening to Fesco tell me that the Guardians are done, that the Phillies can be had. And then, Royals lose game 2 by 9 runs. They lose game 3 by 8 runs. Phone lines are open for you. 913-586-7965. Now, don't get it twisted. I agree with what Fesco was saying. I agree that the Phillies were there to be had, that the Royals had chances to win. Yes, they had chances to win last night's 9-run loss. They had chances to win this 11-3 drubbing at the hands of the fighting Phils. They had opportunities to win, but once again, ladies and gentlemen, your strengths were not strengths. And if that continues over the course of this 20-game riptide, well, then the riptide will take a hold of this team and drown their postseason hopes. I don't like to think about it, but you know it's true. If this rotation, if this defense, if they do not remain elites, well, then this team will not be dancing in October. Listen, if you want to talk bullpen, as Will Smith gives up 5 runs in the 8th inning and Angel Zerpa walks 3 in his 1 inning of work. Chris Bubich throws a center cut slider to Kyle Schwarber. If you want to talk about the bullpen, you go right ahead. 913-586-7965. That's the phone number. If you want to talk about the lineup and the lack of consistent options in this lineup outside of Bobby, Salvi, and Vinny. If you want to talk offense, an offense that today went 0 for 11 with runners in scoring position, if you want to talk about the lineup, you go right ahead. Again, the phone number, the text line number, 913-586-7965. But you know where I'm going. Pitching, defense, base running, and your star run producers. I mentioned earlier today, it was almost impossible for me to envision the Royals winning this game without 6 strong innings from Seth Lugo. Lugo didn't make it through the 6th. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that, much like I said last night about Brady Singer. Now, Singer wasn't bad. Seth Lugo wasn't bad. They weren't great, of course. They weren't. You know, Seth Lugo wasn't the Cy Young Award candidate. He wasn't the all-star today. Brady Singer wasn't the guy that, you know, we started whispering about, hey, is this a possible replacement for the all-star game? No, that Brady Singer didn't show up last night. But Seth Lugo gave you a chance to win. He's charged with 5 earned runs. I think another one of those earned runs could be laid at the feet of the defense as Dairon Blanco and Freddie Fermin, and shoot, even Bobby Witt Jr., I think, contributed to those three runs coming in to score in the sixth inning. I'll hang one of them on Seth Lugo, but the defense needs to wear this as well. Three plays in that three-run sixth inning. Keep in mind, it's a 3-2 game in the sixth inning. Seth Lugo has a chance to pick up his 15th win at this point of the game. But three defensive miscues, or three defensive plays that are short of the standard set by this team. Turn a one-run game into a four-run game, and it ends an eight-run game. Now, I don't know if you agree with me on this, but I had a bad feeling right out of the gate in the first inning. Bottom of the first inning. Listen, guys, now isn't the time to lower expectations. If you think I'm being too tough on Lugo and the defense and base running, if you think I'm about to be too tough on Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi for not getting the job done in the first inning, well, I'm sorry. Now isn't the time to lower expectations. You know what this team is, you know how they got here, and you know what they need to do to remain here. The rotation, the defense, they must be elites. Vinny, Salvi, I need you to come through when Mike, Hell, and Bobby set the table like they did in the first inning. They were chasing that first inning run for the rest of the game. Royals lose 11-3. You want to blame the bullpen, you want to blame the bottom of the lineup, you go right ahead. To me, the guys that got you to 16 games above 500 are the reasons why you're now 14 games above 500. Either your stars are stars, your strengths are strengths, or you are losing. And they did just that today. 11-3, your final score. Let's start off with Nick in Lenexa. Nick, you're hitting leadoff on this Sunday afternoon. How are you?
Hey, Vern. How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Hey, so I'm here with my brother Jake. We just came from the game. Man, we stayed the whole time. It was a great game. I mean, great game, I say. But, you know, we had three home runs. The home runs aside, my favorite play of the game was Fermin picking off that guy at second base. Like, that was an amazing play. And, you know, I think we're struggling, but I don't know. We just need to keep battling. I think our starters are good. But, yeah, the Fermin play was the one I wanted to talk to you about because that was an amazing play to me.
Look, appreciate the phone call, Nick. Freddie Fermin's been a fantastic defensive catcher. He's been a great player. Forget defense, offensively, defensively, inside the clubhouse. Fermin has been a stud this season. A great pickoff of Bryson Stott at second base. Wow, beautiful throw, great tag by Bobby Witt Jr., no doubt about it. Freddie Fermin getting it done defensively in the fourth. Can't corral a fastball in the sixth and gives up a free 90 feet in that three-run Philly sixth. Fermin offensively today, 0-for-4, serving as the protection for Salvi. As you may or may not know, Hunter Renfroe lands on the IL earlier this morning. Royals lose 11-3. They're still on pace to win 90 games. My game notes following this 58th loss of the season. My game notes are brought to you by Jays Southland Tow. Be in the know when called Jays Southland Tow. All right, let's go to Steve in Lawrence. Steve, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. Well, yeah, pretty disappointing. To answer your question when you opened up your show, how we take it as fans, you know, how are we taking it or what does it do to us? I'd say it means nothing if we go out and kick some tail in the next week in Minnesota and Cleveland. If it leads to a further slump, then obviously it was the foretelling of a disastrous road trip, but you know, certainly don't want to lead a very important road trip with the last couple of outings that we've had here. I kind of look at this series as a measuring stick series is what I call it. And I look back at back in 2014, when we thought this team was good and we had a series against the formidable Dodgers, and every game was nip and tuck and competitive as hell when we played the Dodgers that year. And I kind of looked at this Philly series as like, okay, are we going to be, is this what it's going to be like, or are we going to fold? And unfortunately, we folded. I mean, you can't say anything other than that was a lackluster effort on so many bases. I mean, we got dominated by a AAA call-up pitcher and a nine-hole backup catcher had their way with us today. And I don't know, as a competitor, if that Royals clubhouse isn't just, you know, PO'd about how that went, they ought to be. I mean, I think that's probably the good hard look in the mirror and reflection going into these next two series is, how serious are you guys wanting to do damage in the postseason? Do you want to be a nice story, or do you want to be a factor? Do you want to be somebody that's going to have
an impact? See, I think that's the problem, though, Steve. I think that's what they did in this series, is they put too much pressure on themselves, and they forgot what allowed them to arrive at 16 games above 500. This series, thanks for the phone call. This series, to me, looked a lot like the Red Sox series at Kauffman Stadium, the Red Sox series at Fenway. Looked a lot like the Twins series, both of them in Target Field, where, you can talk about the starting pitcher not giving you a quality start. You can talk about defense, booting the ball. They did that in Minnesota. They did that against the Red Sox, and they did that against the Phillies. Sure, the final tally says Royals were dominated, like you said, Steve. And the score says you were dominated. But it's a 3-2 game in the sixth inning. Last night, it's a 2-1 game going to the sixth inning. That, to me, isn't a team being dominated. Last night, now what it is, again, it's, I'll speak for myself. I acknowledge that my expectations for Bobby, Vinny, Salvi, my expectations for Reagans and Waka and Singer and Lugo and Urseg, for the big eight on this team, I'll acknowledge, yes, my expectations are unrealistic. I expect those eight to be all-stars every single night. It's a game of failure. They're not going to live up to that standard every single night. But the thing is, when you're facing Philly, and then Cleveland, and then Houston, Cleveland again, the Twins and the Yankees, either those eight perform at all-star levels or you lose, sir. Good day. So I didn't see a team that was dominated. Was the Royals bullpen exposed? No. We've known that the Royals bullpen stinks. They gave up 6 runs last night, another 5 tonight. I'm not looking at this bullpen asking them to lead me to victory in Cleveland or Houston or Minnesota or against the Yankees. It's on Seth Lugo. Either he continues to pitch like one of the 15 best pitchers in the sport, or you're probably going to fall short of the playoffs. Either Vinny, Salvi, and Bobby drive in a large majority of the opportunities when they're presented, or else you're probably going to fall short of the playoffs. Cole Reagans pitches tomorrow. Cole Reagans needs to lead the Royals to victory tomorrow, 12-10 right here on 96.5 The Fan. And when Bobby and Salvi and Vinny step to the dish with a man in scoring position, they must deliver. I understand how silly that sounds, but you know what? We only have 33 games to play. Now is not the time to lower expectations or live in reality. This has been a magic carpet ride for about 4.5 months. If it's going to continue, the magic must continue. The magic of Lugo, of Vinny, of Salvi, you know the rest. Let's go to Jerry in Omaha. Jerry, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Merlin. Yeah, I drove down for the Saturday-Sunday game. Obviously not very good what I saw on the field, but yeah.
At least you got to sweat a lot.
Yeah, I did. I was in the shade, luckily. It's my seat.
Nice.
So
nice.
I'm old enough to know where to pick the seats at. But, I thought, again, I thought Lugo pitched okay. But, yeah, the defense kind of let him down the inning. You know, Bobby, you expect your superstar to make that, you know, that play that he booted a little bit. It wasn't an error, but, you know, you expect the superstar to make that. I was surprised Freddie's ball wasn't a pass ball. Did they charge it a wild pitch or pass ball?
Pass ball.
Oh, it was a pass ball. Okay. And then, obviously, Blanco dropped. He dropped that ball, and that cost him a run because, obviously, the batter up, you know, hits a double play. So that did cost you a run. I did see where Alec Marsh is pitching tomorrow. What roster move did they make? What roster spot did they open up for him?
It's the second game of the doubleheader, so you're afforded an additional roster spot. Yeah. So he's the 27th man.
Okay. Well, you think he'll stay with the team? Do you think?
No, he'll be optioned after the game. Optioned after the game, but I think he'll return a few days after that. Probably about a week after that. You know, once he's ready to pitch again.
Right. Okay. Well, I mean, I hate to keep beating the drum, but you know, I just don't think Stratton and Smith belong on the team. Every time I've seen a pitch, they just get rocked. And like I said, I hate to keep beating a dead horse, but I don't see what value those guys bring. You just can't keep bringing them in close ball games where you're still in the game, and then they come in and give up 4 or 5 runs. It's just, we can't do that at this part of the season, I don't think. But,
well, they're just not doing their job, Jerry. If they give up a run or two, your job is to eat innings and get this game over with, and they're not even doing that.
Not even close. You know, it's not like the guys are blooping them in. I mean, they're hitting shots. They're not pulling anybody. And I knew when they brought Smith in today, like, oh boy, here we go again. And yeah, that's what I thought. The game goes from being close to being a blowout. So, yeah.
Jerry, thanks for the phone call, man. Really appreciate your input the past few nights. Hope you're no stranger down the stretch. I mean, we talked about Stratton last night. I'll be honest. When I saw Will Smith coming in, knowing that he pitched last night, gave up 2 runs last night, 18 pitches, they run Will Smith back out there, and he throws 27 pitches, gives up 5 runs on 4 hits, and he plunks a dude. When I saw Will Smith coming in, I'm thinking, is this his swan song in Royal Blue? Because he can't pitch tomorrow. Man, you have a doubleheader tomorrow. Man, you have a doubleheader that starts, how far away are we? 18 hours away? 20 hours away? The Royals have to clean 18 innings tomorrow. And Will Smith's unavailable. They had Chris Stratton up and throwing as well. He pitched last night, gave up 3 runs, and threw 19 pitches. So if you're going to run him back out there, maybe both are unavailable tomorrow for 18 innings of work. I know you have Reagan's going in the opener, and I know there's an immense amount of pressure on his shoulders. We can get to that right now if you want. Because that four-game series in Cleveland, it's Reagan's tomorrow afternoon, Alec Marsh tomorrow night, Michael Lorenzen on Tuesday night, and then Michael Wacha on Wednesday afternoon. You feel great about Wacha. Sure, Lorenzen's been encouraging, but I don't have an air of calm with him on the hill. He's not, right, he just hasn't been here long enough. I haven't seen enough from him. Wacha, can't wait. Reagan's, you must give me 6. I mean, honestly, I want 7 and then hand the ball off to Lucas Hursig tomorrow. Appreciate the phone call. Nice hearing from you, Jerry. You know, Will Smith's easy to easy. It's not easy to let a guy go, especially when they're as impactful as those two are inside the dugout, on the plane, on the bus, in the bullpen, in the clubhouse. I've described this a few times. But if you want to talk about the sea change that has taken on inside that clubhouse, the winning mentality that clicked this spring, yes, it begins with the names that J.J. Piccolo brought in and the jolts of adrenaline that this ownership group sent through the organization with the way that they spent this offseason. Sure, it begins with ownership and the front office. Sure. But the approach, the way that these guys have spoke about their goals, the clarity in which they've articulated where they see themselves by the end of 2024, that begins with Will Smith and Chris Stratton and the work that they put in this offseason and throughout spring training. So it's not easy to get rid of either one of them. Financially, it's easy to get rid of Will Smith. He's a free agent in 33 games, or you know, he's a free agent come November. Chris Stratton's going to cost you, and he has a $4.5 million player option next year, but it's September. I know the calendar reads August 25th, but it is September. And I'm with you, Jerry. I don't see where they fit in, what their jobs are, what roles they play. Because they're not mop-up guys. Because they don't mop anything up. They just dump the bucket over and just make a bigger mess. They're not long guys. You know, Chris Stratton's supposed to be a guy that can give you multiple innings. Hasn't been able to. Almost did last night. Gave you a solid one inning and then came back out. And, well, let's go to Stefan in Midtown. Stefan, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan as the Royals lose 11-3 to the Phils. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Thanks for taking my call. You know, last time we spoke, we talked briefly about Jeff Francoeur. I get that same feeling when I talk about Will Smith. He can't stop anybody. They just wait for the mistake, and then they make him pay. Stratton, Long, MacArthur, and Smith, and this one more pitcher. Like you said, I don't know what their job is because their job seems like giving other team runs. I mean,
yeah, they're good at that. They'd be really good at their job if that was their job.
They gave us a preview of the playoffs. Anytime we play a top tier team or even a
middle, you got to get to the playoffs first.
Yeah. They just showed us what they're about. They can't handle the pressure situations. They can't.
Well, they just don't have the stuff anymore. No. I don't believe they have the ability anymore. Maybe they're banged up. Maybe they're dealing with something. They are vets. I'm sure they're tough. You don't last as long in the show as they have without being a tough SOB. So maybe they'll capitulate and acknowledge, yeah, my back's barking, my hamstring, whatever. And you know, the Royals can make the obvious move of placing them on the IL. But here's the thing, Stefan, thanks for the phone call. Again, the bullpen does not, in my opinion, does not deserve the amount of attention that we've just given it in the last 20 minutes. The bullpen was never going to be the reason why you win the division, go to the playoffs, have success. Dating back to spring training, we knew. If you listen to the hot stove shows, if you listen to when I jump on with Fesco in the morning, with Fesco and Dusty on Monday mornings, it was clear back in spring that this bullpen wasn't the strong suit. It was clear it was the weak link. And 130 games in, it's still the weak link. Now, it's surrounded by an elite rotation, a great defense, solid base running, maybe the MVP, a Hall of Fame catcher. It's a good team. But it's never been a perfect team. So I'm not going to pull my hair out complaining or hoping for a better outcome when you put the game in the hands of the Royals bullpen. Now, that's why you must get six on a day like this out of Seth Lugo. That's why when Mikel Garcia and Bobby Witt Jr. go back-to-back singles in the first, two on, nobody out with Vinny Salvi and Freddie Duop, you have to score one. I mean, I want a crooked number right out of the gate, but you must score one. Not to mention, Alec Bohm gave you an additional out in that first inning. How have I gone this long without mentioning that? Two on with nobody out. Vinny Pasquantino punches out in a spot where you can't punch out. And then Salvador Perez rolls over one, an inning-ending 5-4-3 double play, and Alec Bohm just takes the out at third base, starts walking towards the dugout, doesn't realize that there's only two outs. So they gave you another opportunity in the first, and the Royals said, no, we insist, we don't want to score. Freddie Fermin grounds out to end the threat. So talk about the bullpen all you want. You know, we could talk about the bottom of the lineup in the fourth inning as MJ Melendez hits a leadoff double and then doesn't move. Paul DeJong dribbles one back to the pitcher. Dairon Blanco and Garrett Hampson go down swinging back to back. We could talk about the fifth inning. Salvador Perez with the man in scoring position flies out to left. And Freddie Fermin grounds out on an outstanding play by Trey Turner. Trey Turner was studly today defensively. So again, you could talk about the bullpen. You could talk about the bottom of the lineup all you want. That's not why the Royals are in this position of having a wild card spot currently. Being within three games of Cleveland in the division. They got here on the backs of their starting pitching, their defense, and the big bats in the middle. All three were subpar today. Royals lose 11-3. We'll take our first quick timeout. We're back with more of your thoughts, and we'll head inside that clubhouse after this.
Welcome back to Burns Postgame Show on your new home for Royals baseball in Kansas City. 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
And the 2-2 to Bobby. Swing and a fly ball center field and deep. Back goes Rojas. It is gone. A line drive home run to straightaway center field. 111 off the bat. And the Royals are on the board.
Yeah, Ryan Lefebvre on the call, as heard here on 96.5 The Fan, your new home for Royals baseball in Kansas City. Well, your new home for Royals baseball, Chiefs football, Mizzou, K-State athletics. It's a one-stop shop for Kansas City sports on the crystal clear FM dial, 96.5 The Fan. Phone line, text line, new numbers if you're just returning to the show. The phone number is 913-586-7965. Yeah, no doubt that was a line drive off of the bat. I mean, Bobby only hits missiles. 111-mile-per-hour single in the first, and then that 441-foot blast to left center field, his 26th of the season. Bobby takes that 91-mile-per-hour piece of cheese at the knees and destroys it. Just another extra base hits. Bobby has the third most extra base hits in all of Major League Baseball. Only Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani have more. Shoot. Bobby's 74 extra base hits are already with 32 games yet to play. It's already the ninth most extra base hits in a single season in franchise history. Yeah, he's on pace to shatter Hal McRae's single-season record set back in 1977. Our Wit Watch is brought to you by Community America Credit Union. Visit communityamerica.com to join. Member-owned, open to all, invested in you. Bobby also scored a run, his 111th run on the season. That's the most in the bigs. Seventh most in a single season in Royals history. And also on pace to break Johnny Damon's franchise record for a single season. Johnny Damon set that run scored record back in 2000. All right, let's go to Leandrew in Kansas City. You're next up on 96.5 The Fan. What's going on, buddy? How you been?
Hey, what's up, Vern? Thanks for taking my call. Once again, my comments from last night, Vern. The thing I worry about is the leaving so many runners on base and scoring position. Again, I think we left, what, 11 guys in scoring position? And, you know, once, like I said last night, that's the only thing. Find a way to get that improved. I remember the days when we had, you just mentioned the name, Hal McRae. We had Freddie Poptek. We had Cookie Rojas. And it wasn't about knocking the ball out of the park. It was about hitting the ball in the open spaces, generating runs, bunting, stealing bases. And I think they need to concentrate on that a little bit better and get that runner in scoring position improved. And I think it will.
Well, Leandro, they're the best in baseball. Yeah, they're the best in baseball when it comes to hitting and running.
Yeah, but we are counting on it from the middle of the, where we pouting on it from the middle of the lineup. You know, the big boys and the little boys are going to have to kind of find a way to contribute.
Oh, come on, man. We're 130 games into this thing. I mean, how long are you going to hold your breath and wait for, you know, Garrett Hampson to come through in a big spot? This season's not a... Thanks for the phone call. Again, it's not about anyone in this lineup outside of Vinny, Bobby, and Salvi. Yes, they went 0 for 11 with runners in scoring position. Three of those were in the eighth inning when the game was already out of reach. So they go 0 for 8 with runners in scoring position. Salvi 0 for 2, Vinny 0 for 1, Freddie Fermin 0 for 2. That's the story. I mean, come on. Dairon Blanco, Garrett Hampson, those guys went, what, 0 for 2 themselves? Paul DeJong had an opportunity. I'm sorry. I don't look at Paul DeJong, Dairon Blanco, Garrett Hampson and say, all right, boys, 32 to go. We need you. No. Dairon, I need you to not boot the ball in right field. I need you to not try and steal third when Bobby's at the dish. Hampson, but I need you to get bunts down when the situation calls for it. Paul DeJong, you just keep doing what you're doing, buddy. But no, man, this isn't about the little guys picking it up. No, it's about the little guys doing their jobs, sure. Blanco, Hampson, their job isn't to drive in runs. It's to do the little things. Now, they haven't been doing that either. But with the absence of Hunter Renfroe, I need Freddie Fermin to drive in those runs. Now, again, credit to Trey Turner. Made an outstanding play, or else Freddie would have come through there in the fifth. Salvi, Vinny, I need you. Yeah, they've done a remarkable job this year. They've done so much of the heavy lifting, no doubt about it. Now is not the time to lower expectations. I'm sorry. You want to start being realistic? They lost 106 games last year. They're on pace to win 90. None of it makes sense. None of it seems real. But here we are, 14 games above 500. Now isn't the time to go, well, I mean, how much can this rotation really do? I mean, how much can Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi really, can they really carry you all year? I don't know. I hope so, because if not, the season has 12 home games remaining. I hope so. Or else the season has only 32 more postgame shows, 32 more meetings that you and I have after Royals wins, Royals losses, Royals games. Appreciate it. 913-586-7965. That's the phone number. That's also the text line number. 913-586-7965. Seen a lot of disappointment on the text line concerning this bullpen. Again, I just don't know what you've been watching if you're so heartbroken that Will Smith gave up 5 runs in the 8th inning. Yeah, he had a nice stretch in the middle, but he's bookending this 2024 with some boo-boo. Tess in Green Valley writes in, Vern, this is why my confidence was so low the other night. They can't play like this. They can't pitch like this if they're going to make it to the postseason. No doubt. No doubt. And it's not going to get any easier. Now, first pitch is now 15 hours away. You're about to face the best bullpen in the American League. One of the most unheralded superstars in the sports in Jose Ramirez. All-stars in Stephen Kwan and Josh Naylor. They got Gavin Williams and Tanner Bibee coming up in the final 2 games of that series. Royals better win tomorrow's opener. They better win with Cole Reagans coming up tomorrow, 12:10. Don't forget, doubleheader tomorrow, 12:10, first pitch. I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show and your chance to win tickets to see the final meeting of the season between the Royals and the Guardians. I still have those 2 tickets. We'll try and give them away on the On Deck Show tomorrow beginning at 11 a.m. Let's go to Tom in Kansas City. Tom, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Vern. Yeah, I was able to get out Friday night and today and listen to the game on radio Saturday night. And, you know, I love this. At the heat's ratcheting up, right? There was a 20-degree difference in weather between Friday night and Saturday and Sunday.
Yep.
And as the heat gets up, I'm just wondering if the guys aren't, like, starting to feel that pressure of 30-some games left. You know, they're making those little small errors. You know, Bobby didn't have any errors, but he bobbled the ball a couple times early in the game. You know, last night you had that miscommunication in the outfield. You know, if that changes the way the starting pitcher has to adjust to pitch, you know, when you get guys on base like that. I'm not going to put it all on Lugo there. There's some small little things. And Ryan's talking about Ryan Lefebvre. I heard him mention that razor thin line, those early small things early in the game. I was optimistic when Hampson makes that stellar catch up against the wall early in the game. But then, you know, that it's like almost like the heat got to him. And my only other thing is, are we going to be like an away team this second half? Because we've only lost 3 on the road since the All-Star break, and we've lost 10 at home now. I'm hoping this series shows that they can be a road team here, because I'm thinking if they make the playoffs, they're probably going to end up being a road team anyway.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, it's a good call, Tom. I appreciate it. Now, let's acknowledge that the road games since the All-Star break have consisted of the Reds and the Tigers and the White Sox. Credit to the Royals for handling their business against those teams, but, you know, not facing the same caliber of opponent as you have here at home. But you certainly are for the next few weeks. 4 in Cleveland, 4 in Houston, 3 at home against the Guardians, 3 at home against the Twins, and then 3 in New York against Aaron Judge and the New York Yankees. We heard Bobby Witt Jr.'s third inning home run coming out of that last break. If you were in the building, you heard it. If you were not, you may have missed it. But there was a group of young men in the upper tank on the third base side. When Bobby came to the plate in the first inning, they chanted, Aaron Judge, bum, 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 bum. But then Bobby laced a 111-mile-per-hour rocket up the gut, and they sat down. Bobby came to the plate in the third inning, and they were chanting, Judge is better, bum, 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 bum. But then Bobby hit a 441-foot blast to dead center field, and then they sat down again. They look like high school kids. I'm guessing they're from Lenexa. I don't know how they became Yankees fans, but I have to imagine they are the worst. Probably bullies. I'm going to catch myself before I say something I don't mean about some young men that I've never met before. But those guys are clowns, right? I mean, if you're rooting for the Phillies, that's cool. I have no problem with that. But you're just a Yankees homer. You're showing up to Kauffman Stadium decked out in Aaron Judge gear. Just all over Aaron Judge's jock. He's so unaware. You're in Kansas City riding Bobby Witt Jr. And then he makes you look like a clown. I would go on more, but I'm waiting. I'm sure these guys are waiting for their mom to pick them up. Let's go to MJ in Lenexa. MJ, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. I'm a retired military of 30 years and disabled, and I appreciate what the Royals have done for us.
Well, we appreciate what you did, MJ, man. Thank you very much for your service.
And I appreciate everything you do for us. And they're just tired right now. They just need some rest, and they'll be fine.
Oh, they don't have an off day for about a week and a half.
I know, but they're tired. You could see the way they're coming out and they're playing. They're just tired. It's a long season.
It's not good. Yeah, well, it's just as long for Cleveland, for Philly. Royals have been pretty healthy compared to most other teams. So, MJ, listen, you got a good eye. You know this game. If they're tired, that's not a good sign, because this team isn't that well-rounded machine where if one guy's struggling, he can be picked up by another facet. This is a team that needs that pitching, defense, and those big three in the middle to show up nightly. So if they're grinding, I understand. Yes, you're right. It is a very difficult sport. It is a very difficult stretch. It's a billion degrees out there. But as Seth Lugo has said time in and time out, this is why we train all off season. This is why we put in all that work in Arizona, is to grind to the finish. When Seth Lugo threw his first pitch today at 111, it was 93 degrees. It felt like a billion, but it was 93 degrees. When he threw his last pitch, pitch number 94, it felt like it was 100 degrees. So, MJ, it's impossible to argue. But the Phillies were playing on that same field. And they did last night, and the Phillies had played 130 games. But again, MJ, thank you very much for your service. We appreciate your support of Royals baseball and 96.5 The Fan. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7965. Someone's wondering what movie they should watch to feel better. Yeah, I'd go Major League. Even though I'm kind of I like Major League 2. Maybe I'm alone on that, but I'm a big fan of Major League 2. Love Major League 2. Royals are three games back of Cleveland and open up a three-game set in Cleveland in 14 hours from now. So if they're tired, I hope they can fall asleep quick on the bird, because this game's going to be there before you know it. And if they are tired, that puts even more pressure on the shoulders of Cole Ragans to go out there and lead the boys. MJ, nice hearing from you. Seth Lugo takes the loss. He's 14-8 on the season. His ERA swells to 3.19. That 3.19 ERA is still one of the 10 best in the sport. Ninth best, as a matter of fact. Royals still have four of the top 20 ERAs in Major League Baseball. Seth Lugo, ninth best. Cole Ragans, 14th. Michael Wacha, 16th. Brady Singer, 19th. No other team in baseball has more than two of the top 20. Royals still repping four of the top 20. They lose, though. Oh, boy, did they ever. 11-3, your final score. If you're on hold, it's a quick timeout. We get right back to your phone after this.
Welcome back to Burns Postgame Show on your new home for Royals baseball in Kansas City. 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Here's the pitch. MJ hits a high fly ball deep right field. The Royals have another home run. And MJ Melendez clears the right field bullpen. Number 16 of the year.
Again, it was a game. MJ's home run there in the sixth inning was an attempt to jumpstart a comeback for the boys. Made it 6-3 Phillies, but final score, Philadelphia 11, Royals 3. Five runs come in to score off of Will Smith in the eighth inning. And five-run eighth innings have a way about them of taking you out of a game. Now, I'm not saying, if you're just joining us, I'm not saying that this one is laid at the feet of Will Smith. Maybe if this was April, maybe if we're talking about that game at Camden Yards early on this season, okay, yeah, maybe I could get with you. But we're 130 games into this thing. I'm not losing sleep when Will Smith gives up a five spot. I'd lose sleep when Vinny and Salvi don't come through in the first inning. I know it's a game of failure. How can these guys come through every single time, Vern? That's a silly expectation. I agree. But now isn't the time to lower expectations. The reason why you're here is because Vinny, Salvi, and Bobby darn near come through every single time. You're here because Seth Lugo gives you six innings almost every time. He doesn't today. He gives you 5 1/3. It's just the sixth time all season Lugo's failed to go six. Yeah. Six times in 27 starts he's failed to get the job done. The defense makes one error, but three misplays turn into two Philadelphia runs. This team's not good enough to overcome a below-average start, below-average performance from the defense, and a below-average showing from your big bats with runners in scoring position. But coming into the day, Bobby Vinny Salvi ranked top five in baseball when it comes to hitting with runners in scoring position. The Royals, as a team, number one in the sport, hitting with runners in scoring position. Today, they go 0 for 8 when it mattered. Let's go to Justin in Oklahoma City. Justin, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. Hot afternoon. I was listening to the game on the radio while I was playing a little golf, but
nice.
I got home and saw the end of it. You know, I don't want to sound like a broken record from last night either. But I guess I would say my concern is, and I don't know if this is going to happen in their next starts, but you know, combined the starting pitchers are giving 22 hits in the last two games. I know Philadelphia. I mean, they're a very dangerous hitting team. I'm telling you, man, these series with the Guardians and the Twins are big. It's like I said last night. You know, obviously we all know that. But my concern right now, do I think the wheels are falling off in the starting pitching? You're right. I mean, we're here because, you know, Lugo has been able to give you six innings. And
you talk about those hits, Justin, real quick. I'll let you finish. But you talk about those 22 hits allowed by Singer and Lugo combined. You have to throw in there the fact that I would say, just looking here, four of those 22 hits, you tip your cap. Maybe six of those 22 hits, you tip your cap to the opposition. There's three of them that should have never gone down as hits because of defensive miscues. So, yeah, the hits are abundant, and Philly is a bona fide offense. But the Royals... got beat by a good offense, but also beat themselves. I don't think you can say 22 hits are laid at the feet of Singer and Lugo.
Yeah. I definitely agree with you. I just, like I said, I'm not hitting the panic button. Obviously, I mean, one thing you said, and I said this, you know, and you said this today. I mean, this team lost 106 games last year. But being in the position they are, I still think, this is what I think as a Royals fan, I think we're a couple of years out from really competing for the champion. I mean,
you can win it, though.
Right.
If you get in, you have a chance.
But, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I mean, I'm be interesting to listen the rest of the day, what you think about these series coming up.
Yeah,
you know, obviously,
I got
important.
You.
What do you think?
Of course, they're important. Every game's bigger than the last, Justin. You know that, man. I appreciate the phone call. I see some people taking solace in the fact that the Red Sox and the Twins aren't capitalizing. Okay, again, you don't hear me talk about the wild card because there's no need to talk about the wild card until you're forced to talk about the wild card. You're three games back with Cleveland, and you face them seven times in the next 10 days. It could be four games up in the division in 2 weeks from now. Obviously huge games. But for as big as tomorrow's game is, for as much pressure as I'm putting on Cole Reagans tomorrow, Reagans is going to face Cleveland again here at Kauffman Stadium, and that's likely to be even bigger. Yeah, tomorrow's the biggest game of the year, and then Tuesday and then Wednesday, and then we just go on and on and on, and it continues to grow and build, and the pressure begins to mount. I know you're not hitting the panic button, Justin. There's no need to hit the panic button because you have Cole Reagans on the mound tomorrow. Now, you know, if Reagans five and dives, now we're starting to get a little concerned that the division might get out of reach. But we're not there yet. Bobby Witt Jr. was one of four Royals to record multiple hits. Bobby has more multi-hit performances than anybody else in the sport. And he, since the All-Star break, is hitting .417. Since World War II, there's only three players in baseball that have hit for a better average after the All-Star break. Ichiro, back in 04, hit .429. George, in 1980, hit .421. And Ted Williams hit .453 in the second half of 1957. So, Bobby, still very good at baseball. Royals lose 11-3. Let's go to Batman in Kansas City. Batman, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, Vern, I don't like to call when we lose. And the last time I talked to you, we were just one game out. And all I can tell you is, you know what? The deal of it is your roller coaster, your prophetic roller coaster, is we're right in the middle of it, but we've got to stop it, like, right now. Because there's no time to play with this game that's coming up here with Cleveland. It's gut check time. We got the two stink shows out of our system. Don't look ahead because it's right in front of you.
Yeah, and it's only going to get tougher. I mean, every game is going to be tough.
Yeah,
these are the last two stinkers we're going to see, Batman. Might be wishful thinking. Let's have some respect for the opposition.
We're just getting to see how they respond in this kind of a situation with the chemistry they got. They're young, and, you know, maybe I'd be looking ahead to this. I'd be looking ahead to that next game in Cleveland, and you know it. That's the one that I want. And I'm telling you, you know, the games that are coming up are so big. I think that we got it in us. You know, Manager Q's not going to let him get down. He's right on it. We're right on the edge of getting this, but it's not happening in a series. It's taking this home. This next 30 games is going to be all part of it. And I guarantee you that we're right in the middle of it. We got to worry about Astros and the Bo Sox and Yankees in Seattle, but it all matters with Cleveland. What happens with the Guardians and with the damn Twinkies, and you know it. And we're right in it, Vern, so don't get too high. You're the unequivocal voice of reason. You're never too high. You're never too low. You're my brother. I love you.
All right,
brother.
Right back at you, man. Thank you very much for the phone call. Raj in the Ozarks writes in, Vern, we're caught in your riptide, headed straight out to sea on a giant swan flotation device. I hope we don't need to be rescued. Yeah, me too. Scott in Phoenix, he's disappointed in Will Smith, to put it kindly. From the 620, oh man, 620 also mad at Garrett Hampson. Says that Matt Quatrero's awful at managing the bullpen. Said the Phillies dog walked us on back-to-back days. I don't know what Q should have done differently with the bullpen. Well, Bubic should have thrown a better pitch to Kyle Schwarber. Serpa got out of the seventh. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if you have an idea of who you wanted to see, instead of just saying Q screwed it up, maybe you're new to the Royals. Maybe you think that HDH are still hanging out there in the bullpen. But you're not going to, knowing that you have a doubleheader tomorrow, you're not going to chase a game when you find yourself down in the eighth. Sure, listen, I would have loved for Schreiber and Urseg to pitch the eighth and the ninth, even though the Royals are down by three. But then you wouldn't have them tomorrow. And I don't know what you were watching, but this offense wasn't eliciting a lot of hope. At least it wasn't for me. And I had no issue with the way that Q went about it. I mean, who do you love out in that bullpen? How many choices? I mean, whatever. Steve from North Kansas City writes in, Vern, we're not good enough to play bad defense against a good team like we did today. Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about it. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Text line's always there for you. 913-586-7965. Well, it sets the stage as we are now within just a mere, 17? Okay, I finally have my math down. Yes, it would be 17 hours from now. First pitch, Cole Reagans, Nick Sandlin, 12:10 for the starts, but I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 11 a.m. If you want to win tickets to see the Royals here at Kauffman Stadium, ladies and gentlemen, there are only a dozen home games left on the regular season schedule. If you want to see the boys, make sure you're listening tomorrow at 11 a.m. for your chance to win on the pitch clock. Hey, thanks to Quentin Morris for the help back at the studio. Thanks to you for listening. We got a long one tomorrow, Kansas City. Try to get out of work if you can. And meet me right here on 96.5 The Fan. Enjoy your Sunday. Take care.
You've been listening to Burns Postgame Show.
Pasquantino smacks it deep to right field. His second home run of the game.
Check out the All Things Burn channel on 96.5thefan.com and the Odyssey app to stay up to date with your boys in blue on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan. We now take you back to regularly scheduled programming.